Ah, that is the sound of Tony Fulmer whistling while he plants.
In mud.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm terrific.
So good to see you.
Better to see you both.
Tony brought us gifts, Wendy, which we encourage all our guests to do, Tony, but very few follow
Low
through.
Low cash value, no doubt.
Thank you
though.
So much.
All right. He had me open mine first, although you gave me bills.
Yes, yeah. Yes, unfortunately.
These are
they
very
got
nice.
Mixed up in the bag.
All right. Well, it's a name tag from the chalet, like a real honest to goodness one, and it says Wendy, head gardener.
And mine says Bill, sporticulturist. Which is like horticulturist, but with a bend towards sports.
A reference to my last appearance
yes,
here
it
when
was.
You tried to trick me. And
yes,
do...
I did.
Yes.
I did try to trick
he
you.
He always tries to trick you. And,
you're too smart for me.
Not really.
There's already a text. What is Tony's favorite panda meal?
Oh, that's a good idea. Because you,
well,
you
if I want to be literal, that would be bamboo.
Tony. The Chalet Nursery is located right across the street from Panda Express. It'd be silly to not
You don't
visit.
Say.
Yeah, they are.
And it's not like you mention that every time.
Yes, I do.
All right. He's getting coupons. I know he's getting coupons for rice. I just
Bill
know
smells it. Like orange chicken. I wonder why.
I'll tell you, that would be a nice little scent to have.
Yeah,
because once you smell it, you want it. Wouldn't
it
you
is.
Want people to say that about you?
Yes.
Once I smell Bill, I want him.
Yeah, please say that about me.
All right, Tony is the chief horticultural officer at Chalet Nursery, and it is that time of year. It's allegedly spring.
Allegedly.
We don't know that yet. There's been a lot of damage. This was a rough winter. It was wet. It was cold. What's happening out there?
The problem is that it was the cold was sustained. It just went on and on and on. And the thing that we're seeing most on are evergreens because they have a leaf surface and needle surface. And so basically what happens is when the ground freezes and you have that combination of winter sun and winter wind, either from the northwest or from the southwest, it's just constantly pulls moisture out. The plants are what we call transpiring. They're losing water. And if they can't replace it, the plants literally are freeze-dried. So that's what's happening to lots. I mean,
even
literally,
an evergreen, Tony? That could happen to an evergreen?
Especially an evergreen.
Because really?
They've got hardy.
Yeah.
But they've got leaves. They've got that leaf surface.
Exposed.
That the deciduous trees drop. So they're reducing their exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge, huge, huge problem. But then on top of that, there is also an insect problem. So people are confused about what the symptoms are. So typically what we're seeing, the question I'm asking people is, did the plants look good going into the winter in last fall? And or did the damage just show up in March or April? And if the plants look great going into the fall and just showed up in March or April, then you have to be suspicious of winter damage, particularly if the plants are in exposed location again where they get a lot of unbridled winter wind that's just going to dry the plants out.
I have three boxwoods that I've put around my, I believe it's a cornelian cherry tree.
Ooh.
Yes, so there's
good
three because three is prettier, an odd number is a prettier arrangement.
You always say that, right, Tony?
I do.
Go with an odd number.
We've talked about that before. You remember, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I take notes.
Okay.
Up here where it doesn't count.
There'll be
count.
A quiz at 12 o'clock
That's
and we'll
fine.
See. Okay.
I'm ready.
One okay. of the three of my boxwoods is not doing well. It's brown. What happened?
Okay. Is it all on one side
yes.
of the plant? And is that the plant, are the plants in a line, is that the one that is most exposed
yes.
to the wind? Okay. So basically, it stood forward and took the hit, and the plants behind it, just that little bit of
it
additional
shielded
protection.
Them.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So
yes.
people are having a lot of boxwood
oh.
troubles?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Was it polar vortex related?
It was absolutely. You know, minus 29
yeah.
is history making, and it wasn't just, it just didn't dip down for one night. We were below 15 below for days and days and
yeah.
days on end. And so basically, we are USDA hardiness zone 5,
mm-hmm.
which is the worst temperature is supposed to be about minus 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to minus 30 in effect. So that is like going up to Minnesota.
Right.
And these plants, as hardy as they are, they're not bred for sustained temperatures like that that go on for days and days and days.
The insects that you spoke about a couple minutes ago.
Boxwood leaf miner.
What are those exactly?
It is kind of, it's not for the squeamish. Basically, the best analogy I can give you is you have a boxwood leaf, and it's a little bit like a sandwich, and the insect gets in between the upper and lower leaf surfaces, and it eats out, it tunnels back and forth in there, and eats all of the important tissue. So it's like eating a sandwich and eating out the middle and leaving the bread.
Oh.
So when you hold up the leaf to the light, it's translucent,
oh.
and you can see through it, and you can see the tunnels. The primary difference when you look at a plant, whether it has boxwood leaf miner or whether it has winter damage, damage. There will be blistering or blisters or little pops.
Yeah.
And most often, if you had leaf miner on the plant last year, there will still be little bits of green because they didn't completely eat out everything in the leaf.
Can a plant rebound from that? Or once that happens, is it all over?
The problem is many plants have both.
Yeah.
And so... shameless plug, if you want to see great pictures, I did a blog post on the Chalet website about battered boxwood, and I got great pictures courtesy of the Ohio State.
Yeah.
Buckeyes, as you remember from last time. Absolutely. So people can help, that may help people delineate which they have. But again, the big thing is if you had symptoms last fall and you didn't have them, you have them now, it just happened over the winter. They're just showing up.
All right.
But a lot of people have both.
You can go to chaletnursery.com and look for the blog, and there it is. Boxwood looking battered.
Boxwood looking battered.
Grass. People are texting in. I have some grass issues. Our backyard was pretty much underwater a lot of the winter. It's been raining a lot. The ground was really saturated, so the water had nowhere to go. And I noticed, like, our backyard is mud.
Right.
It seems, as I looked yesterday, that grass is trying to sprout up. What do we do? Is now a good time to plant? How do we work on this?
So the standard turf grasses, the Kentucky bluegrass that likes sun and our fescues that like shade, are cool season grasses, and they're happy with cool, but they need oxygen just as our lungs do. So when the soil is so completely saturated, or if they're standing underwater for long periods of time, that affects the root system really, really dramatically. And on any plant, if the root system is compromised, the plant is going to show symptoms one way or the other. So what we need is we need it to dry out a bit. We need to get some oxygen to the soil, to the root system. And the other thing is that the biggest component of grass, of turf, is nitrogen. And so when we use fertilizers, they have nitrogen, and that's what promotes green growth and green color. But nitrogen is also the most mobile element in the soil. So you can put fertilizer down, and if it's in a soluble form and starts raining, that nitrogen just goes right on down through past the root system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another, aside from the fact that there's lack of oxygen, this constant rainfall leaches the nitrogen, which the plant needs to produce new blades of grass.
You should be the chief horticulturist somewhere, because you know your stuff.
You know, I might consider that.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe Panda Express.
You know, you two should take it over to the Catskills.
We're talking about that, Wendy. I know you're joking, but we're looking at that.
Real quickly, we'll do a question and then we'll get to more of them. 312-981-7200. Tony's on the line. Tony.
Hi. Thanks for having him as a guest. It's real interesting. My magnolia tree this year did not bloom for the second time in 3 years. Last year was magnificent. 3 years ago, it didn't do anything. This year, it more or less fizzled. There were a couple blooms, but nothing. It's a large tree, and it's an older tree. Is this something I should be concerned about?
The one thing that you need to look at, there is an insect problem called magnolia scale, and it's pretty debilitating. Do you have any branches, or have you noticed any dieback periodically, like every spring when the plant leaves out? Is there a branch or two that you're missing?
No, but I did have it trimmed a little last year, and I do have a lot of suckers coming up all over the existing thicker branches.
But this is a mature, established tree, and it gets good sun.
Yes, oh yes,
okay.
Definitely.
The other thing you have to be concerned about is if it's pruned at the wrong time of year, that blooms so early, it's blooming on the growth that it makes in July, August, September. So if you're pruning that needs to be pruned within a month, no later than 6 weeks after that finishes blooming, because any pruning later than that will affect developing buds for the following spring.
So will it ultimately catch up? Like, because I groomed, I did my lilac bush and had one flower 1 year, and now I've waited, and it kind of seems like it came back.
It's exactly the same thing. It's all about the pruning, and so if you prune too late for the early spring bloomers, then you lose that year. But if you get back in sync and prune properly, if you have to prune at all, then the plant should be fine the following year.
Tony, keep your fingers crossed.
I will.
Thank you.
All Tonys.
All Tonys will.
Every Tony listening. Yep. More with Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. If you have a question or comment, 312-981-7200. All right. You talked me into it, Wendy. I wasn't going to, but
it sounds
enticing. Tony Fulmer's here. Speaking of enticing, he's the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. Go visit Tony. Very, very knowledgeable. Tony, a lot of people texting in with questions. Here's a good one from 630. Can I prune dead red oak branches now?
Yes.
All right. Can I ask your answers be shorter and more succinct, please? Yes.
Can I trim my hydrangea now? I left the big heads on them during the winter, and
yes,
now...
Yes, immediately. You want to do that immediately. Now, do you have... Are you talking about Annabelle, the big yes. softball-like one? Yeah, you want to do that right away.
Ooh. Yeah. So I'm too late?
No, just get to it. But the thing about that is, Wendy, don't cut them back. A lot of people take that all the way back down to the ground, which you can do, but that's when the plant is more apt to be floppy
Flimsy.
And floppy.
Yes,
because it's all new soft wood, so it tends to flop when you get that big head on it, big flower head on it later in the summer. So I tend to take them back more to a half so that you have a heavier stem coming out of
it. I want to just say that Tony gave me the best advice
what
for the Annabelle
this?
Hydrangea. You start with the tallest trim in the middle, and that like in the middle of the mm-hmm. plant, and then you kind of taper it so it lays nicer. Mm-hmm. I did it. It's great. Thank you for that advice.
You're welcome.
Tony, here's a question from 847. How do I control or eliminate Lily of the Valley?
Yes, it's taken over people's yards. Goldenrod, too. I planted one thing of it. It's all over.
Goldenrod or buttercup? Because right now what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of buttercup. So when you have these really aggressive things...
Are lilies of the valley?
Lilies of the valley are aggressive, but they're moderate compared to other things. So if you wanted to get rid of Lily of the Valley, depending upon how big it is, to be organic about it, what I would do is dedicate a nice weekend to that.
Yeah.
And just sit down and make sure the soil is moist, and then you just start digging and you filter it up. It's nice if you have a little soil sieve.
Yeah.
And you put the soil in there and you shake it back and forth, and then that way you're not picking roots out. You can actually pick out the stems and you can pick out the little roots and throw them away.
Oh.
But it's tedious, but that's what you have to do.
How do I control or eliminate Lily Tomlin? That's a weird question.
Don't pay her.
Oh, God. So goldenrod, it has like a fluffy kind of thing at the
yes.
top right now.
Yes.
So that's goldenrod. They're really
toy. From last summer or fall,
yeah,
yes.
I planted one area, and it's all over my yard now, and I've just been ripping the root up.
So what you have to do on things like that, if you want things, a lot of our native plants, that's how they're successful, is that they seed really heavily. So if you want to do that, but you don't want to have that kind, to have them in sod the following year from 10,000 seedlings, then you go ahead, and as soon as they finish, but before they set seed, you deadhead them and take those flowers off. Now, there are those people that, you know, if you like to feed birds, a lot of birds, a lot of insects feed on these plants. So there's that, you know, you're trading certain things to not have sod of 10,000 this or that the following year by leaving the heads up, seed heads.
There's another text here that I'm having a problem with. Bill, I don't know if your wife Terry is. Violets have taken over all of our flower beds.
That's a bad thing, huh? Violets sound like it'd be
they're
a good
pretty,
thing,
though.
But that's
no,
a bad
no,
thing.
No, they're not.
No?
Violets are one of the very, very worst lawn weeds. And any time when you dig one up, there's a little tiny, it's called a corm, but it's basically like a little bulb. And the problem with that is there's all kinds of stored food in that. So you can use something, you can use a standard weed killer that will knock the top off, but there's stored food in there, so that plant is going to try and survive, so it will try and push back up again. So
Dig it out?
Well, no, because if you break it in a tiny little piece, it will. I mean, you can do that if you just have a few of them, but over time, what you have to do is if you have a large amount of it, you use a weed control product, but you're going to have to use it probably several times because you have to keep burning that, you have to take that foliage off. And you have to exhaust the stored foods that are in that little bulb. Otherwise, let's get the dandelion digger out. But the soil's got to be moist. You've got to pop that little bulb out.
I got so much popping to do because they've taken over the whole like muddy portion of my garden mm-hmm. that I haven't planted yet.
Mm-hmm.
And weed killer is poisonous to dogs, correct?
But you don't want to do that. Yes. So out you go with some nice warm Saturday, if that ever happens again.
Yeah.
With your dandelion digger and
spend the day.
Start popping.
Yeah.
All right. Really quickly, Karen's been on hold. Karen, Tony Fulmer here.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hi there. We planted about 30 arborvitae evergreen for a barrier between properties last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, most of them all have brown spots on them. And I looked it up, and it says something like winter burn. Is mm-hmm. there something we can do, or are they going to be okay?
That's a little bit about like what we were talking about earlier. Does it tend to be on one side of the hedge or the screen?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, that's very much like what we were talking about with the boxwood. You had plants that just didn't have a chance to get established. And so they hadn't rooted out, especially with these larger plants, like 6 or 7 or 8 footers.
Right.
Okay. So okay. So you had all of that surface area and you had a limited root system. And so those plants were particularly stressed because they just didn't have a root system and they weren't able to get enough moisture to replace what was lost in all of that top above ground top. So all you can do is make sure that they're well mulched. If you want to feed very lightly, you could use something like Holytone. We like that.
Okay.
And, if we get into hot, dry weather, make sure the plants get supplemental water, but definitely mulch them. And you're going to just have to cut those brown patches out. That's not going to green up again.
Good luck.
So
I hope they
cut those out.
Yes, cut those
out. I do too. We spent a lot of money. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that is. I know a lot of people line their yard with that, and if you know, you have 20 of them and they've turned brown, so there is a chance it might come back.
Well, the question is, by the time she prunes that out, you know, and you have a hole here and a hole here and a hole here, how aesthetically pleasing is it? You're going to like kind of weave things together so much when you have big holes in a 7 or 8 foot plant.
Yeah, but then you could buy a new arborvitae and
you could do that as well.
Kind of fill it in instead of buying like
well,
all
no,
20.
No, no. Well, you mean individual plants?
Yeah,
yeah. It's funny when rabbits get in there. Rabbits will stand on top of snow and stand on their hind legs and eat hedges of arborvitae along the bottom. And so people come in a lot and say, "Okay, I don't have anything for the first 3 feet. what can I plant under there to cover that up?" That's a question we don't like to get.
Yeah,
but.
You're amazing. You know that. He's Tony Fulmer. Check out his blog. You can go to chaletnursery.com and click on the blog. And it's about boxwood looking battered because there's more text that maybe they didn't hear the first part of our show.
Sure.
Chaletnursery.com. What's the address again?
3132 Lake Avenue.
I'm a head gardener at the chalet. Bill, what are you?
Chief horticulturist, Wendy.
Oh, I should have put chief on there.
I already wrote it in.
Okay.
Pencil.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
We couldn't get to all the texts and questions, so you just are going to have to go to the Chalet Nursery and ask for Tony Fulmer. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony.
My pleasure.